You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Zagura, Dean Italy in for Matt Wilhelm today. And don't forget to tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. And now let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
Always a great feeling to come into the building after a solid team victory. Success in all three phases, very encouraged by that. And as we knew yesterday, and it was certainly validated by the film, there's a lot of stuff to get cleaned up. But to me, I'd always take, you know, trying to pull the negatives out of a victory than a positives out of a loss. I thought we played with really good energy. I thought the fans were very instrumental in that. We all felt it and recognized it after the game. And then it was confirmed by, I think, Coach Wisenhunt said that it had an effect on them as well, especially on some of the, you know, the big third downs in the game. Able to hit some big plays, which are important. I think it's very, very difficult to drive the length of the field in this league. I think anytime you can score, you have to be able to do both. But it was encouraging to see us hit some big ones. The one thing we do need to get cleaned up is that we were fortunate. You know, we put the ball on the ground. We got them both back. But that's something, the quarterback position, we've put the ball on the ground 5 times in 2 weeks. You're not going to be able to win consistently doing that in this league. Just like last week, we'll take today to learn from it. We'll go through the same drill, compartmentalize it, put it in a box. This box is a little nicer looking than the one from a week ago. But then we move on. We've got a good opponent coming into town, coming off of a big win at home, which they put up a lot of points. So will be a big challenge for us. Injury wise, no real updates. Mingo should be fine. Just dinged his knee a little bit. Nothing there to be concerned with. I know Dez Bryant will likely miss some practice time with his shoulder as he did last week, but we're hopeful that by the end of the week he should be able to go. Just a note on Josh. Josh is still in the protocol. We'll know in the next day or so whether he'll be able to start practicing on Wednesday. I'll open it up.
Mike, as far as Johnny's concerned, did he do enough yesterday that you're considering sticking with him and kind of riding the momentum after a win?
We're going to meet on that tonight, just kind of, and it's to me, that's standard. That's our weekly meeting where we evaluate every position and where are we. But until Josh is cleared, there's not much thought process there, just because he is the starter right now, with the fact that Josh is out. But we will have the what if discussion tonight, and you'll see where that takes us.
Mike, what did you see from Johnny this past week that you feel confident that Sunday's game wasn't a fool's gold type of game?
It was an extension of the work that he's put in. It's, you know, the plays that he made were plays that he made on the practice field. To me, I would think you could get lured into that trap, thinking it was just a fool's gold type of thing. If the preparation wasn't there, the mindset wasn't there, that it wasn't there in practice. But he prepared to be the starter. He got the reps this week, went out and made some plays. Just as I said in the opener, he just needs to be much more protective of the football. That cannot become his flaw, that we have to get that cleaned up. But I thought he did a really good job of recognizing what they were in, knowing where to go with the ball. I thought one play, it was didn't look like much, but we went to an empty formation. They were trying to check the defense. He knew how they lined up, that they were not going to have Gary Barnage covered in the flat, and very caught it and banged it, real accurate throw right out to him. He was able to get a pretty good chunk of yards. I think that was on our second touchdown drive.
Have you seen, when you look at the film and those 4 fumbles, have you seen anything that he's a repeated error?
I know the one for sure he had two hands on it. He just needs to be stronger with it. But I think the other ones, he was not carrying it as securely as we would want him to. Sometimes that's just an awareness of it's hard for a quarterback. If I'm in traffic and I still want to be able to make a play, knowing that there's somebody around me that can swipe the ball. I know the one against the Jets late in the game where he kind of leaked out to the right and the guy came from behind. I think most quarterbacks, when they get kind of tomahawk like that from the backside, the ball is going to come out. But when you see it coming, when you sense it, I think he's got to do a better job of protecting him.
Can you say what the setback that Colin suffered?
I won't get into details of a concussion.
Was he at the game?
He was at the game. He was at the game.
Mike, how much the discussion with Johnny revolves around the fact that we just got to see what our first round pick from last year has now, and you can't afford to wait another year.
We're tasked with winning football games, and the decisions we make are what gives us the best opportunity to win this Sunday. So I know that on the outside that those things get brought into it. We've already seen circumstances have come about for us to get an evaluation of him. So we're not going to use a season and look at it that way, say, hey, we need to know. We think over the natural course of events we'll find out.
15 attempts, does that have anything at all to do with his elbow or anything?
No.
Like
that? No, I think the run-pass ratio in the first half would probably give you a pretty good sense. When we got up 21, we were run first. I didn't want to, and I know we had the one drive where we, I think, threw it three times. We're off the field. I wanted to make sure that we got the run established and that we kept the clock moving. And that's why we and they knew it and they did a good job defending it. I talked about it yesterday. But we wanted to make sure that we were methodical with our approach and we didn't want to get careless with the lead and start to throw the ball. Did we get predictable? Absolutely we did. But we wanted to make sure that we kept the clock moving and I thought our guys responded well. At times the run game did show up.
Six times before the kind of the game-clinching touchdown.
Yeah, and we talk if we want to be have the rushing attack that we talk about having. Those are the time of the game we have to. They knew we had to run, yet we were still able to get the ball out to midfield before we hit the one on third down. I thought that was an important drive. We took a good 3-4 minutes off the clock, and were able to score and essentially put it away.
Whether or not you want to stick with him because he only threw the ball 15 times?
That doesn't enter into our thinking. We threw the ball. We felt like it was enough to win the football game. That's our mindset. It's singular. So we evaluate him in practice. It's a total body of work, but we're not going to manipulate. We're not going to reverse engineer it to try to get an evaluation.
What are some elements that you might have seen from Manziel yesterday that you probably could not have seen last year because his head wasn't in as good a place?
Just overall quarterback play, just his presence, hearing the play, being assertive, calling it in the huddle, making sure everybody was lined up right, being good with his cadence, knowing, hey, I got a motion here, I got to move a guy, coming off on the sideline, being very interactive, going through the still prints. I mean, I just think quarterback play from A to Z. I think he's improved in all areas in our mind, and I think that's a function of two things: his willingness, his commitment to it, having Kevin and Flip, I think are two of the best in the business, and they do a great job interacting with the quarterbacks and holding them accountable. Well, I have a lot more interaction with him this year just because I spent a lot more time on that side, and it's been very positive. I mean, you'd love being around guys that have that it factor, that are competitors, that love to win, love football, love talking about it. So the interaction this year has been more frequent and very positive.
Got it.
I haven't talked to Joe about Johnny's soreness, so I don't think it's anything that's significant.
Is it at all, not a concern, but an ongoing thing to have him distribute the ball more to others besides Hartline hasn't had?
Our preference is to throw it to the open guy. So if it happens to be Travis, it's Travis. And there are teams now, I assume Travis is going to be on everybody's radar, and he's going to get some rolled coverage and some attention paid to him that other guys are going to have to get open and step up. But the way we read plays and the quarterback progressions, there's no, hey, look at this guy first. Now, some things will be schemed up for a certain cover, like the second play of the game. We thought that we were going to get that coverage, and he was the first read. But each game, it's not just schemed up for one player. We'll have a variety of plays up. The primary read is, will typically, that's mixed up who it is. I think Flip does a good job of mixing up the personnel groupings and having the routes run to each receiver's strength. But it's doubtful that Travis is just going to be the go-to guy the whole time. Teams will start to scheme to defend him. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, he's that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Johnny's made a lot of progress in the right direction. Still a lot of things to get cleaned up, but we certainly feel like the arrow's up.
Mike, how would you assess the run defense yesterday?
Not good enough, and unfortunately, it was good at times, but then when you give up chunks. Like the one, especially the one with the McCluster that went right in front of our bench was, a couple guys on the plays got, when you get multiple guys that get minuses on a play, you're going to give up a run like that. So we know it needs to be better. Now, I think we got to the point in the game with the lead where we were more pass conscious than we were run, and we're willing to concede some yards later. But early in the game, there were several plays that needs to be better.
But just on that, I mean, I've always thought that teams sometimes give up on the run too quickly. Would you agree that they used the run to get back in the game and they were only down a touchdown with 6.5 minutes to play?
Yeah, they did a good job sticking to their original plan. When you're expecting, a team to fall behind or down three scores and to panic a little bit, they didn't. And I thought that's one of the reasons they got back in, is because they stuck to their plan. You look back when we came back last year against Pittsburgh and against Tennessee, we were a lot more up tempo, but it was primarily because we ran the football. Yeah, and there's no substitute for going through it. You can pipe in crowd noise or play music at practice, whatever it is. I mean, until you go through it and feel it in that exact moment, it's difficult. But I thought it was certainly a home field advantage for us yesterday. I thought the crowd did an outstanding job, and I think it's a good blend. It's a good marriage from a standpoint of what we do defensively requires a lot of communication on offense. We move guys around. We'll line up at some different fronts. We're not a standard four down team where it's a little easier to identify, make protection calls and those types of things. So we force teams to communicate a lot, and when it's noisy at our place, it's certainly to our advantage.
Two more. In the past, you've asked some key veterans for their opinions before making a quarterback decision. Will you do the same this time when playing the what-if game?
I don't see the need to talk to any veterans. I'll rely on Kevin and Flip.
Do you feel like you have to try to mitigate there being a quarterback controversy here, or is that just something
we see on the outside or we think on the outside. It's not really what's going on.
Yeah, my concern is what's on the inside of the building. I have no control over what's on the outside. If that exists on the outside, there's not much I can do about it. As I said earlier, our task as a coaching staff is to put together a plan and formulate our personnel to give us the best chance to win on the upcoming Sunday.
Last one, decision comes down to this. Who gives you the best chance to win? McCown gave you the best chance in the first week. It seemed like things were heading that way, that he would be the guy the second week had he been cleared based on what you said Thursday. Is there really, did Manziel give you that much to talk about given those two factors in the opening two games?
We're going to put it all on the table and talk about it, but I mean, and we'll see where it takes us. But as I already mentioned before, it's to me a positive conversation because you have a young quarterback that's been through a lot, that has gone out and led his team to a win. I mean, and we were all able to enjoy it last night, I'm proud of him because if you had said back in early in the offseason if this was going to happen, I think a lot of people would have said it's pretty slim chance. So very, very proud of him and the rest of the guys for putting it together and winning the home opener.
That was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Penn, from yesterday addressing the media. Today he was on NFL Network saying on Josh McCown, quote, he has another step in the protocol and we'll have a lot more information by the end of the day. So everything's still hypothetical as he remains in the concussion protocol going forward. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.